Okay, my name is Howard Dick, and I'm one of the elders here in San Carlos Community Church. It is good to be able to be with you again this morning. I'm kind of in a different position this time, as last Sunday I was given the announcements like Bob, and now I'm able to give the message. So it's always a blessing to be able to share, either it's through message or through announcements or prayer, whatever, but it is good to be able to fellowship with you. I've been so impressed with this congregation over the past few weeks. And as we've been talking quite a bit about Rich this morning, and I'm just kind of proud as a congregation have stood behind a man and his family through prayer and giving and encouragement. As I think of people that drove to Hermosillo yesterday just to show their faces and to be able to pray and to be there and be that support, that was just so wonderful. That was just so good of those that went and did that and took the time. And I know that meant so much to Rich and Karen and their family. And I too think of just the fact of how we have stood together and have prayed for Rich and Karen. And you know, for some reason I've been very conscious this week of praying without ceasing. It's amazing how many times that Rich and Karen have come to my mind, and throughout the day and even throughout the night when I wake up, I would say a prayer. And I believe that you guys did the same thing. I believe that many of you experienced this past week prayer without ceasing. I totally believe that. And as Bob was mentioning here again too, just the importance of prayer and how we can make such a difference in our world today. We really can. Because we have a Father in heaven that is so incredibly in love with us and enjoys blessing the socks off of us. But He's wanting us to be faithful and true and to be trusting Him. To be trusting Him. And so I just want to say on behalf of the elders, thank you so much for standing with us and standing with your pastor and his wife. And we are believing good things to take place. And yeah, we need to continue to trust the Lord in Chuck's life too and with his situation. And you know what? When things like this are happening in our lives in a church situation like that, good things, you know that bad things are going to take place. Because Satan is out there wanting to destroy the family of God. And so this is something that we as a congregation have to expect to take place, to happen. We have to expect it. Because bad things are going to happen because of all the good things that are taking place. And so that we need to be encouraged and just say, Lord, yeah, we're going to keep lifting our brothers and sisters in the Lord to Jesus Christ. We want to keep strong. We want to keep the faith. We want to keep going to the very max. And so thanks again for your prayers and just standing with this wonderful family, and we are trusting the Lord for them to be back here shortly. And as he's off for these 6 or 5 Sundays coming up, we have all kinds of special guest speakers that will be here throughout the next few weeks, and so it's going to be a good time. As I've been thinking about this past week and what to share, many, many things come to mind, you know. And I think of the things that Rich has just gone through. And I think of what must have been happening in his body when he found out that he got cancer. I remember getting that phone call after he left the hospital there a few weeks ago. And he said, Howard, I've got cancer in my prostate. And it's like, wow. It's like something just dropped. And it's like, I can't believe it. Lord, what are you doing here? A man of God, someone that has given his life so much to the work here in San Carlos, in the community, and here we're faced with something like this. Lord, what are you doing? And I began to reflect back to all kinds of different situations, even in our lives, as we were growing up as our family was in Venezuela, for example, for years. And we had different situations that came our way, and there was incredible anxiety there in us. And I remember my wife almost dying to an infection close to her brain, and I began to wonder, boy, that's amazing, you know, Lord, that you could have taken my wife so easily. I remember anxiety and sufferings of us living through a mudslide, and how I prayed to God. It's like, Lord, if you take us all as a family, that we would all go at one time. But God happened to spare us as a family. But I remember afterwards, as my family had to leave our dwelling place there and move up to Caracas, and I had to stay alone in our house over there to protect it from thieves and just for people coming through. And I remember, Lord, what are you doing? Here I am, a missionary, and you allow something like this to happen. When Hannah just about lost her life in a car accident as she rolled a vehicle and broke her neck, and it's like, the anxiety and the suffering, the pain that was there. Lord, what are you doing? Why do you bring this to us? Why are these adversities coming our ways? And I believe, people, that we live today in a society where there's so many types of diseases, one in particular, that is happening around us all the time, and we're not aware of it. And it has such a strong hold on us. And I believe that this disease is called distress. We are a people that have so many things that are going wrong around us today. And as I looked up that word distress, I found all these different nouns that describe what distress is. And I just want to read some of these to you. Suffering. Pain, worry, anxiety, torture, grief, misery, agony, sadness, discomfort, torment, sorrow, woe, anguish, heartache, affliction, desolation, wretchedness, danger and risk and difficulty and jeopardy and endangerment. And the list could just go on and on and on. All these words that describe distress in our lives. And as I began to think this past week, when Rich preached this last Sunday, I began to think, man, the anxiety that must be going on in his mind right now, not knowing, just knowing that cancer was in his body, just eating away at it, just right there. Here it is, alive. What about us? What kind of things are we having in our lives today that are just taking our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of distresses do we have that are disrupting our lives? And I know so many times we have prayer requests here where there's people that are sick, people that are hurting. There's lots of anxiety there. There's family members that are unsaved. We live in dangerous places. I remember when we lived in Caracas. I remember running for my life. I remember snipers up in buildings. I remember running from tear gas. I remember running into subways, running for my life. And the anxiety and the adrenaline that was just there was just so amazing. And it's like, wow, distress. Many, many people today are hurting and discouraged, and they don't know why. They don't know why, and so many people don't have a remedy. How can I fix this situation in my life? What do I have to do? Distress. It's real. And it's all around us. Do we see it? Do we feel it? Do we recognize it? But most of all, do we know what to do with it? Do we know what to do with it and get rid of it? I've seen people that have gone through many, many trials and situations. And you know, there's bitterness that comes so many times through hard times in our lives. So much bitterness. And we kind of take our focus away from the Lord Jesus Christ and we put it onto ourselves and start saying, woe is me, pity me, this shouldn't be happening to me. And that's wrong. That's totally wrong. We can't be focusing our situations and our infirmities around ourselves. Not at all. And I think again of the testimony that we heard last Sunday. We heard it here from the pulpit of a man that was so much in giving God the glory for something that nobody wants to have. Nobody wants to have cancer. And yet we saw again somebody giving thanks to God and says, like, you know what? If I can praise you all the more through my sickness, then I want to do it. And as he gave that example of Job again, and how his friends told him to just curse God and die. That was the easy thing to do. That was the easy thing to do. But no, he made the decision of saying, no, God allowed this to take place in my life, and not because of sin that I had. Had nothing to do with sin in his life whatsoever. But because of God's grace and the way God is, he allows things like that to take place. For us to make decisions in our lives to give him all the honor and the glory and the praise. So how does distress affect us? Does it control us? How do we approach life with situations like that in our lives? Can we see Christ? Can other people see Christ in us through our infirmities? Can people see that? I just love, again, the example that Rich gave to us. His joy, his total joy in Christ because of what he had. And that just has spoken to me so much this past week. Can I be glad in everything that comes my way? Can you be glad for everything that comes your way and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you? It's so easy to be able to praise God and enjoy fellowship with God when everything is going good, isn't it? Isn't it so easy to just be up on top of things? Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm encouraged today. What about tomorrow? Can we say, thank you, Lord, for the things that we might not necessarily like, what might happen tomorrow, for example? We have no idea. But the thing is, we have to be making choices all the time. How am I going to deal with my relationship with Jesus Christ through a lesson that God wants to teach me today, right now? As Christians, we are made privy in the secret of suffering and distress. And there's a very cool verse in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. I'm just going to read for you. It says, and then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. Excuse me. Then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Only I heard that. Once I heard that, I was glad and let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. And now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, like abuse and accidents and opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. And, you know, as I read that again this week, and I just thought, you know, God's grace is enough for us to take us through our trials. He is absolutely enough. And as Rich had spoken again last week, it's like, you know what? As we get weaker, as we give ourselves to God, again, we become stronger and we can make those decisions in life that really count. That really count. I received an email actually yesterday from a lady from Pakistan. It says, we recently received an update from our field staff in Pakistan regarding Asia Bibi, who has been sentenced to death for alleged blasphemy against Muhammad. Although we had heard reports that Asia had been tortured by a prison official, her husband clarified that she had not been tortured but had been harassed by a prison guard, and that guard since has been disciplined. Because of threats against her, Asia is held in a secure cell separated from the general prison population. Asia's husband also shared some encouraging news. One of Asia's guards is a Christian and has constantly been kind to her. Asia has her Bible and she receives encouragement and blessings from God's Word each day. In spite of her challenging situation, she testified that God has been faithful in encouraging and sustaining her. And God is with me, she said. I feel strong and I feel protected. Now, do you think she's receiving a little bit of distress in her life? You begin to think about something like that, and I just was imagining myself as I read this, wow, being in a prison in another country, in another religion, and being persecuted and on sentence for death because of saying something against a God. What would that do in your body, in your system? How would you feel? And here she is. God has been faithful in encouraging and sustaining me, because her focus was not on the situation, but her focus was on God. Whether life or death, she's hanging in there. She's in prison right now over there in Pakistan. There was a king in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. His name is Jehoshaphat. If you want to turn there, actually I didn't look at the page number. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if somebody wants to. 372? Page 372. And we want to look at this particular fellow, a king, a man that walked with God, a king that desired to serve the Lord. We want to take a look at his life. And it's interesting that the children of Israel were God's chosen people. And yet, right from the very beginning, from Genesis on, God was always bringing hard, hard trials into their lives. And again, we just realize that God allows things to happen in each one of us. And that happened, started right in the very beginning of Genesis, where people were constantly warring with one another. And there were fights, and there were arguments, and there was hatred there, and there was just strife, and there was mega suffering. Just like today, they went through the same things as we go through in our lives today. And so what's interesting is we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to just stop and go through this particular book. And it's just so interesting to just see again a country, a nation here of Judah and Jerusalem under incredible, incredible distress. So let's start in verse 1. Now it came about after that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon together, excuse me, my lint is on here, the sons of the Menuites came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came to report to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are Hazar Tomar, that is Gilead." And so here we have an army, many armies coming together to come and fight against Jehoshaphat. And these people are about 12 miles away, or about 17, 18 K. So they're relatively close. So this incredible army is here coming. And it's interesting to see what Jehoshaphat does. And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. And wouldn't it be so easy today to have a situation like this and just think about it? Five different nations coming to attack Mexico. And the government would find out about this, and right away they would begin to think, okay, how big is our army? How many troops do we have? How many swords do we have? How many tanks do we have? How many airplanes and boats and etc., etc.? What do we look like? How strong are we? What did Jehoshaphat do? And Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And so right away he showed his humility here towards his own people and said, we need to fast. We need to go before the Lord and really seek the Lord in this whole situation. And Judah gathered in verse 4, Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. And they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And it's so simple and so easy to see here again the fact that where was his confidence in? It was totally in the Lord. He wasn't going to go to anything else, nobody else. He wasn't going to go to his general and say, "General, what are we looking at?" No. He went to the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, here's a prayer. O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that not one can stand against thee. And here he was, just lifting up the Lord God. Verse 7, dost thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abram, thy friend forever? And they lived in it, and they built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee. For thy name is in this house, and the cry in thee, and in our distress, that thou wilt hear and deliver us. And now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou didst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude. We are powerless, in verse 12 it says. And here again you see the humility of Jehoshaphat. We are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. And as I think of us as believers of Jesus Christ, we have to, on a regular basis, come humbly before God and say, God, here I am. Who am I? What can I do? How can I fix this problem? We can't. We can't fix it. We have to have the attitude that Jehoshaphat had here. We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. He says here also. Nor do we know what to do. As believers in Jesus Christ, so many people that are walking in sin, they quench the Spirit of God in their lives. Because darkness and light do not mix. When we are walking out of fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we are separated from God. because God cannot tolerate sin whatsoever. And it just, you know, as I think about this, we are totally helpless and useless if we don't have the Spirit of God leading and directing our lives. We can't continue on. It's impossible. And as I think over here, we don't know what to do. We are up, but our eyes are focused on you. But like it says here, for we are powerless before this great multitude. And in reality, when we are walking in sin, we are powerless to make right decisions in our lives. And you know, as believers, we need to be staying on top of things. We need to be staying on top of issues that are coming into our lives. We need to be getting rid of that distress that is facing us on a daily basis and allowing circumstances and different events to be controlling our human thinking. It's so important that the Spirit of God is fresh all the time, that we are walking in the Spirit moment by moment by moment. That is so important for each one of us, because if we want to be fulfilled in our Christian lives, we need to be doing exactly this, is allowing God to do that perfect work. And we need to say, God, yeah, with all humility, I am powerless. I cannot do this in my own being. I cannot love my neighbor in my own self. That is impossible, but you can. I can go through this hard time with my wife as possibly the relationship there is broken. I can do this, but through the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the same it is with here. Jehoshaphat was coming before God, but our eyes are on you. Where are our eyes? Are they focused on Him? Verse 13, and all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, with their wives and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. And so here we had a prophet that was in and amongst the group of people there. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the king and King Jehoshaphat. I always like this. Thus says the Lord. And so here this prophet received this notice from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, do not fear or be dismayed. Yeah, right. You're kidding me. We're not supposed to be afraid of this incredible battle that's coming before us. You got to be kidding. But this is what this prophet said to the congregation and to Jehoshaphat. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Because, why? Because this great multitude for the battle is not yours but God's. And you know, so many times we hear this all the time. Don't fight your battles. But we keep doing it. We keep doing it. Do not fear nor be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours but God's. And so many times as it comes from the pulpit here, it's always, are we giving our situations or battles to the Lord? Are we doing that? Or are we allowing that fear and those circumstances to just control us and to get us down and get our eyes focused on ourselves and our surrounding situation? Verse 16. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, this is the prophet saying, they will come up by the accent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Juro. You need not fight in the battle, but station yourselves and stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. You need not fight. Isn't that so true? We give everything to the Lord. We don't have to fight. We don't have to try to work things out on ourselves. The distress that we are going through today, right now, we don't have to fight it. We can give it away. We can give it to our Lord. You take care of it. You can battle with it. I want to be free. I want to be set free. I want to put these things all to the side, and I want to enjoy Jesus Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. And so it says here again, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them. Because who is with them and who is with us? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is with us all the way. All the way. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They were grateful, totally grateful. Verse 19, and the Levites from the sons of the Kohenites and of the sons of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. And they rose up early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and listened and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. As you see this, did it say that they went out with their swords and their spears and their chariots? Absolutely not. They didn't go out with a physical army. They didn't go out trying to fight this battle on their own. They went out by total faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They went out by faith. Wow, how simple is that? How simple is that to just go out by faith instead of trying to work out our own ways of doing things? Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Wow. Verse 21. And when they had consulted with the people, he had appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir and who had come against Judah. So they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And then when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil, because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak. And there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named that place the Valley of Barak, which means blessing, until this day. An amazing story that took place. An amazing event. And you know what? These events take place throughout the whole Word of God. God continues to do so many blessings. He continues to do so many things that He has shown us, and He just wants us to grasp this stuff and to put it to use, to put it to practice. God did an incredible thing here because of a king that desired to walk with God, a king that desired to trust a God, trust his God, and you see the results. And we can see the same results day after day after day if we so desire. But we need to be giving everything, everything to God. And He wants us to be open about it, I believe. And you know what? It was very interesting. I also received an email yesterday. It was kind of a strange thing. It was on a YouTube. And there were two turtles. This one turtle was lying on its back, and this other turtle came alongside and looked at the situation, and he started working at trying to push this turtle, move this turtle back, get on its feet again. And it was just so interesting to see this. And while they were showing this, they were playing the music to the song called "Lean on Me When I'm Not Strong." Remember that song, "Lean on Me When I'm Not Strong," you know? And it was just kind of interesting. And as I just thought, man, that is just so cool, you know? God is wanting us to lean on Him. Amen. He's just wanting us to just take control. And as I watched this turtle being moved back over onto its feet again, you know, and then they walked together away. And they had some words there that I just want to read. It says, "A friend, a person with whom one is allied in a struggle or a cause or a comrade. To the world you may be just one person, but to one person you may be the world. It's better to be a slow buddy," referring to a turtle, "than to be a nobody at all." And we can be so much of an encouragement to all of us. We can be such a helping hand to each one of us. But that's a choice that we make. That's a choice that we make. God has so many special things for each one of us, and He's just wanting us to say, yeah, here it is. Are we taking it? Are we taking it? Becky, if you want to come and close.
When I was getting music ready this week, of course it was before Rich's surgery yesterday, and I thought, okay, what is Sunday going to look like? Are we going to be rejoicing because it's good news, or are we going to be really shook up because it's bad news? And this next song that we're going to sing to close just fits it, whatever it was. Because whatever we have to deal with, His grace is sufficient.